Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We begin today with a conflict between public safety and free expression. Over the last few years, Massachusetts cities and towns have led the nation in adopting policies that bar registered sex offenders from entering public libraries. The goal is to protect children, but a recent federal court challenges the constitutionality of such bans.
The courts have traditionally held that the First Amendment not only protects the right to express ideas, but also the right to receive ideas. So when the city of Albuquerque, New Mexico, banned sex offenders from using their libraries, the local ACLU chapter sued, arguing their client, a registered sex offender, has a constitutional right to use the library. In 2009, a district court judge agreed, and this month, the U.S. 10th Circuit Court of Appeals upheld her ruling.
And while the 10th Circuit has no jurisdiction in the Northeast, the decision represents a compelling precedent if similar bans were challenged in Massachusetts. Radio Boston's Adam Ragusa investigated what the ruling could mean to this part of the country.
In Massachusetts, this all goes back to January of 2008, when a registered sex offender named Corey Saunders lured a 6-year-old boy away from his mother at the New Bedford Public Library. Saunders took the boy into the stacks and raped him. The following day at a press conference, then-New Bedford Police Chief Ronald Teachman pushed back against anyone who would argue the boy's mother was to blame.
The issue here is whether Corey Saunders should have been allowed out in society and been at that library last night, or anywhere where children are.
In response to the incident, New Bedford city councilors passed an ordinance barring the most serious sex offenders from setting foot inside newly designated child safety zones, places like video arcades, swimming pools, and, of course, libraries. In the years since, at least 6 other Massachusetts municipalities have followed suit with similar measures: Fall River, Methuen, Quincy, Somerset, Attleboro, and Lowell. Of all the governments in the nation to ban sex offenders from libraries, half of them are in Massachusetts. No one has followed these developments more closely than a recent law school graduate named Jennifer Ekblaw.
I was a dual degree student at Indiana University in Indianapolis. I was studying law and library science, so I wanted to write my note about something that involved both of those topics.
And boy, you really found it.
Yeah.
Ekblaw is now a law librarian at Boston University. We talked while she was working the reference desk, which is why we're so hushed. Her 38-page note, published last year in the Indiana University Law Review, looked comparatively at all of these bans around the country. And she says Albuquerque's policy was particularly ripe for legal challenge.
It simply banned all registered sex offenders from all of the public libraries in Albuquerque. It was very broad. And that was one of the reasons that it was ultimately struck down.
We couldn't necessarily ban them outright.
Jim Timmons is the city solicitor for Quincy. Officials there were mindful of the constitutional pitfalls when they passed their ban in 2010.
So we wrote into the ordinance a provision that they could not be present unless they had written authorization from the administrator in charge.
The Methuen and Somerset bans include similar language. And as for Lowell...
Roll call.
Councilor Elliott?
Yes.
Councilor Martin?
Yes.
Their ban is the most limited of all. When city councilors passed it in September, they saw this 10th Circuit ruling coming, and they worked to craft a lawsuit-proof policy, somewhat to the dismay of Councilor Rodney Elliott.
I would like to have seen a little bit a more strict version. I believe that we have to compromise.
Registered sex offenders in Lowell are only barred from the library during times of day when children are more likely to be there, such as 2 to 6 on school days. Back when the ban passed, I asked Lowell librarian Victoria Woodley.
Just on a practical level, how are you going to handle that? How are you going to... Sex offender hours are ending. Please check out all your materials.
I'm thinking we're going to have to put up signs. I'm not exactly sure how we're going to word them, but I think we're going to have to do something.
It's not an academic question. Woodley says she knows of several registered sex offenders who use her library regularly. And although she supported the final ordinance, she admits to a certain discomfort with the idea of limiting access to the library for anyone. And she's not alone. Here's Deborah Caldwell Stone with the American Library Association.
There's a deep concern because of public libraries historically being places where people could access information, where it's a place of self-education, where people can literally reform themselves.
The ALA is still formulating an official position on the issue, but Caldwell Stone says they'll take into account the fact that some registered sex offenders are not sexually violent predators.
Instead, it's the teenager who got caught sexting. It's the older teen who dated a younger teen.
But here in Massachusetts, the law distinguishes between violent and nonviolent offenders, and those most likely to reoffend. Again, Jennifer Ekblaw.
You have levels of sex offenders. There's level 1, 2, and 3. So a lot of the bans here in Massachusetts only apply to level 2 or 3 sex offenders as opposed to the lowest level. And in that one way, they're more narrowly tailored and would be more likely to withstand constitutional scrutiny.
That's because of something in First Amendment law called the Ward Test. You might have heard of it referred to as time, place, and manner restrictions. Basically, the government can put constraints on speech as long as they are narrowly tailored and serve some kind of compelling state interest, like protecting children from known pedophiles. Which leads to another funny thing about this Albuquerque case. City lawyers there didn't think they had to spell out exactly what public interest their policy served. An apparent error in legal strategy that Quincy solicitor Jim Timmons says he would not repeat.
They simply said that, you know, our ordinance enjoys a presumption of constitutionality and we rest on that, and that anyone challenging it has the burden of proof.
Meaning a true constitutional debate over this issue has yet to occur in the courts. And there's no indication that debate is going to happen here anytime soon. A spokesman for the ACLU of Massachusetts says they've not been contacted by any sex offenders interested in pursuing a lawsuit.
That report from Radio Boston's Adam Ragusa.
Stay with us, because up next, Haiti, American intervention, and the aftershocks of history. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.